providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am replaying an interview that we posted on Friday. It is a discussion with Mark Chandler, and it really looks big picture at the potential transitory nature of not just inflation, but also the reopening trade, also fiscal policy, also consumer spending, something that hasn't been discussed widely. So that's why I wanted to highlight this interview again for all of you listening on the weekend show. I hope you all enjoy this segment, and we are going to be back next segment with Richard Postma talking precious metals again. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are joined by Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now Mark, we are all chatting off mic, and some interesting concepts were being thrown around by you regarding this whole concept of transitory for inflation, but then taking that a step further to this reopening trade and consumer spending. Look, there's no denying that when the world was shut down, especially the U.S., North America broadly, people were cooped up. And when stuff starts opening, everyone really rushes out. There's this pent-up demand that there's no denying that that has already started to happen. So it's this whole reopen trade. But it ties in hand with inflation here, where you think there's a potential that all of this, inflation, the reopening trade, and consumer spending could be transitory, and we could have already seen the peak behind us because of the fact that at least some states have been open for months now. Take us through this general concept and how it could play also into currencies and markets, please.
Yeah, sure. So here's the big picture. Here's how I'm thinking it's evolving is that as the economy recovers, of course, we know about the base effect, and we know about the bottlenecks causing price increases. And as the economy opens, more activity, and as the economy opens, that means that this pent-up demand that we have in the household level, it means that the fiscal policy is the sort of peak is behind us. That is the government's support programs. The next step really is we have some new programs launching for family support, for child support in July, but the big packages are going to be gradually coming to an end. And so that some of that fiscal punch will be leaving. I'll give you an example of what that means is that this year, the Congressional Budget Office, its nonpartisan group of research for Congress, has a U.S. budget deficit at 13.5% of GDP. Next fiscal year, it falls below 5%. Now, I know 5% is still large, but that 8% decline, 8 percentage points of GDP, less fiscal support. So household demand, people like myself, who now we can go out in public and go to a ball game and go to stores, spending some money, that pent-up demand, that also is going to be exhausted. I mean, of course, we're still going to be going shopping and going to ball games, but that increase becomes much more stable. And so what I'm thinking is that the economy is either peaking now or going to peak in Q3. And that what we need to, it's not just prices that are going to be transitory, but this business cycle. I mean, we haven't repealed the business cycle. So again, from the Congressional Budget Office, this is what they're talking about. And again, they're nonpartisan. They've got growth this fiscal year, which ends in September, at 7.4%. Next year, they got slowing to 3.1%. And in 2023, 1.1%. So in the big picture, I've got the less monetary support, less fiscal support, the exhaustion or the satiation of the household demand. And then the other thing I'd point out, I know you're really interested in commodities, is I'm watching the price of oil. And it keeps going up. And it looks to me like the OPEC Plus group and the U.S. shale producers are showing a lot of restraint here. In the face of, say, I think we hit $75 a barrel for August WTI. And what I notice is that, again, from a big picture point of view, is that before the past three business downturns in the U.S., oil prices doubled. And oil prices once again have doubled, not since last April when they were negative, and that was a fluke, but we just go since the vaccine. Oil prices have doubled, and they might not have peaked. I mean, I see a lot of calls for $100 a barrel for oil. And so when I put all these things together, I think this is the best things get. And that's what concerns me going forward. I think people are still thinking that somehow, because this business cycle was caused by the pandemic, that somehow we've repealed it. And I'm suggesting that just like prices are transitory, the price increases are transitory, growth, the business cycle hasn't been repealed. And this is probably the best that growth gets.
Well, Mark, that's an interesting point of view to take. And I haven't heard a lot of people talking about this, but if growth is transitory and if we've seen kind of the biggest part of this push, or we're in the middle of the biggest part of this push in growth, do you think we're at risk then? And I hate even saying this, but are we at risk for a market correction? Because if the last few recessions have been preceded by a doubling of the oil price, if people are overly optimistic, and you mentioned off mic that a lot of businesses have invested in growth and they've poured a lot into it, expecting this continued rise in growth. If we don't see that, and if things taper off here, even just flatline, but worse, if they were to decrease over time, as those estimates indicate that year over year, we may start trending down. Are we at a risk for a real kind of market correction, deflationary type of event, a full-on recession that everybody's been asking about for a decade or more than a decade? Are we actually at this interesting place where we could see a legitimate recession?
Well, I could think we could see a recession, an economic downturn, but what it means for the stock market is a different story. I'm not sure how anchored the stock market is to the economy. I think about what happened last year. A very strong stock market, a very weak economy. And so I wonder if the stock market just has a different function now than reflecting the economic tide. I mean, if I'm right in this business cycle, we might not get above 2% yield on the 10-year bond for a whole business cycle. Negative real interest rates. And what does that mean? To me, it means that people have little choice for most of us who choose between stocks and bonds. They have little choice but to stay in the stock market.
Well, I have one more question then about the commodities you brought up, Mark, because if the demand is not going to be there, and if China is dialing back a little bit its manufacturing of goods, and it's actually been dumping commodities in the market, it's been dumping metals into the market, and it's been doing strategic agreements where it's been supplying other businesses with its reserves, if there's going to be a slowdown in consumer demand, if on the other side of the equation, if the production coming out of the East is going to slow down, then won't the commodities get hit as a result of that?
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? I just don't know about, I'd want to unpack the commodities. I think that the grains right now are primarily weather driven. I think oil is driven by, the U.S. shale producers. And the OPEC is showing a lot of restraint given how high oil prices are. And I think they got control of the market. And so I think that, so if you tell me about commodities, which commodities, I'd say, yeah, maybe the metals, especially the industrial metals. I see copper is, even though some other metals are trading stronger, we've got a copper looks a bit heavier. And I wonder if we break down commodities and just focus on those that are really used for industry, like the metals, maybe there's where you see the weakness. And to your point, it does look like China is tapping into its own strategic reserves. Just like, it's not so different than what the U.S. is talking about in order to have this infrastructure measure. One of the compromises is they would tap into U.S. strategic reserves, oil reserves. Same kind of concept, but China's just got more of these reserves and in the metals.
Mark, thanks as always for your time. Great chatting with you. I'll post a link below this interview to your blog, Mark2Market, and we'll chat again next week. Have a great long weekend, Mark.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.